Do you find yourself wanting to live for God and failing? I believe all of us could probably say, yes, I want to live for God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, there is within you the Holy Spirit of God, and there is that prompting, and you want to live for Him. However, we find that there's failure that comes. Now, something happens because of that failure. And after a while, so many failures, a lot of folks just give up. They just give up. They don't think they can ever really live up to it. They don't think that they can really live the Christian life. And they'll see some Christian, they'll see some individual, and they think, I can never be like that person. No matter how hard I try, I can never be like that person. I'd like to so bad, but I just can't do it. And they give up. I remember years ago, we had a teenage boy in school. I remember that on a number of occasions, he would walk the aisle. And he'd ask God to forgive him. And he'd get up from there and he'd go back. And boy, he'd really try to live for God. And he'd do something wrong. And next time a message was preached, he'd be down there bawling his eyes out, asking God to forgive him. And he'd go back and do the same thing over again. And one day, he said to me, I give up. I just can't do it. I give up. I just can't do it. And from that day to this, he hasn't. As a Christian, he's an utter failure. And it's a very sad thing because that's not where God wants us. I think sometimes we may not give up, but we resign ourselves to defeat. We come to the place where I can never be like them, and this is all the farther I'm going to get, and I just have to be happy with this. I don't believe that's what God wants either. And I believe there's a problem that we deal with constantly. And if we get a handle on this, I think it would help us a great deal. Let me read just a few verses. Just stay seated, please. In Genesis 27, we find the story of Jacob deceiving his father Isaac. Perhaps we could say it was Rebekah. But I want us to notice how he was deceived, because I believe there's something very important here. He had the meat prepared by his mother, and it says in verse 18, and he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Remember the story. He had told his son Esau, go out into the field, get me some venison, bring it back, prepare it, and when you get done with that, I am going to bless you. Now this thing of blessing is really, I'm going to bequeath upon you my will. Okay? I'm going to give you my will. It's like when we die, we maybe have a will written and somebody's going to read that. He is reading this ahead of time. Now notice here. And Isaac said unto him, am I in the right spot? Verse 20, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Liar, liar, but nonetheless. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Notice that. The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now I want to ask you a very simple question. What did he use to determine who he was? What did Jacob use to determine who his son was. His touch. Somebody use the word I want to use. His feelings. Okay? Not what he heard, but the feeling of his hands. Okay? And as a result, we find it says, he discerned him not. Why? Because he felt. And that is where he made his decision. Based upon his feelings. He even questioned him, verse 24. Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He lied. And yet he blessed him. He went by his feelings. Okay? Now let me ask you a question. Or let me make a statement. In the Word of God, on four different occasions, we find it in Habakkuk, we find it in Romans, we find it in Galatians, and we find it in the book of Hebrews. And those four times, by the way, something is said twice, it's very important. If it's said three times, it's extremely important. God said this four times. The just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's remember that. The just shall live by faith. It does not say the just shall live by feelings. The problem that Jacob had that day was that he went by feelings rather than believing the voice he was hearing. Let's make application to that. He went by his feelings. Let's make application to our Father, our Heavenly Father. He went by his feelings rather than by his faith in we do this. We go by our feelings rather than going by faith in our Father and what He says. Okay? Now, you understand today that you are a tripartite being. Those are just great big words. It means you're in three people, all wrapped up in one. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. When we are born, we have a body, we have a soul, and the spirit is described as dead. And the Bible says that we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. In the book of John, chapter number 3, it makes it very clear to us that when we get born again, our spirit is what? Enlivened. It's made alive. Okay? So really, before we're saved, we operate in the realm of the body and the soul. Okay? The soul is primarily the area of our feelings. And the body is basically that which is dictating to the feelings. Does your body dictate your feelings? Take a hammer, hit the end of your nail, and ask yourself, does the body dictate to your feelings? Put your hand on top of a hot stove. Touch that thing and ask yourself, does your body dictate to your feelings? Definitely. We experience pain, we experience love, we experience joy, we experience all sorts of things from and through the body. You grew up with that. Okay? You've had that all of your life. But when you get saved, there is another realm that's added to you, and it's called spirit. Your spirit is enlivened. And so with this enlivened spirit, that which is in touch with God, we have a new realm. Now let me ask you something. What ought to control our lives? The flesh or the spirit? The spirit. Okay? Matter of fact, the Bible says, if we walk in the spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? So it's our spiritual nature, it's our spirit which is in touch with the Holy Spirit of God. And He wants to lead us, He wants to direct us. And we are to operate in that realm. And so we have the desire, because we have that spirit, it's been enlivened, we have that desire to serve God. We have that desire to have a fellowship with God. We have a desire to even be of God's people. We just have this innate within us because that is coming through the Spirit of God. It is right, it's holy, and it's good. When you and I were saved, the old man was crucified. We've talked about that a number of times. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're to put off the old man. Why? Because it's dead. Years ago, I was talking to, I believe it was Mr. Cutler Sr., and he was telling me about a lady he had known. And I hope nobody here knows her. I have no idea who she is. But when her husband died, he was cremated. And those ashes were put in an urn, and most people, you know, they'll take it somewhere, spread it all over the place, or, you know, they put it on the mantle, you know, and they say, well, hey, there's my husband sitting up there on the mantle. I don't know. They do all sorts of things. This lady did something else that was, to me, weird. She had a belt made that this little canister, it's like a holster, and she carried this around. I mean, she put that on when she got up in the morning, and she carried him everywhere she went for his ashes because she wanted to be near to her husband. You know, people have all sorts of ideas and what have you when it comes to all this, but that was her deal. Okay? I look at it, I say, that's a little bit on the weird side. You know, why do we want to carry around a dead person? You know? Now, seriously. And I use that as an illustration because, really, stop and think about it. If the old man is crucified, why do we want to carry him around? And so God says, put him off, okay? And put on the new man. Put on the new man. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And we do that as we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and to work in our hearts and our lives. Okay? But we have a problem. We can put off the old man, but the flesh is very much alive. Does not your flesh have appetites? Just using the word appetite brings into your mind food. It has appetites. It has desires. It has, we can use the word lust. It has all of these things because your flesh did not get saved. Your spirit was enlivened. Your soul is saved. But you know today that your flesh is not saved. It's going to die yet. It's still going to pay the price of sin. Unless we're the fortunate ones in the time of the rapture. And I'm thinking we probably are. Boy, when things really get bad, don't you think, oh Lord, why don't you come back right now, get me out of this mess? But here's the wonderful thing, God is there to get us out of that mess if we allow Him. But nonetheless, here we are. We are in this body, and it's got a flesh, and it's still very much alive. It hasn't died yet. And so we're carrying this thing around all the time. We can put off the old man, but we still got the flesh. It's got all of its desires, all of its deals, and so forth. Now, what is the flesh when it gets an owie or it's feeling good? I'm using the word here. What's it do? It sends impulses to our feelings. And here's our problem as Christians. Somehow we get this figured out in our hearts and our minds. Really quite simple, but for some reason it's very difficult too. If we are to live by faith and not by feelings, then something's going to take place in our life. Okay? And here's what's going to take place in our life. If you and I have bad feelings, okay? Let's put it this way. Quentin, you've done something wrong. Man, you feel horrible about it. It has got you down, but you go to God and you say, Lord, please forgive me. Now, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Have you ever done that and you still felt bad? How many say, preacher, I've done that. I still feel bad. Yeah. How are we to operate? The just shall live by what? faith. And when we allow those feelings to dictate back to us, and then we feel bad, we're not operating in the realm of faith. We're operating in the realm of feelings. Okay? And so we allow those feelings to take us back down. That was the problem with this young man. Man, he went and asked God to forgive him, but he still felt dirty. And because he felt dirty, it wouldn't be too long he did something dirty. Because he felt that way. And he just felt defeated. He felt that way. And what he didn't focus upon was the fact that when he asked God to forgive him, God did. When we were at camp, there was something that was said on one occasion. It took quite a lengthy time for it, and I was so appreciative of it. And we need to understand this. You know, as individuals, we find that there are facts. The facts are in the Word of God. Amen? Here's a fact. The fact is, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? Oh my goodness. So we ask, He says He will do so. So is that young man, he asked, but he didn't believe it because he still felt dirty. Do you understand that your soul has been so connected by these cords to your flesh that it's still sending those messages? And what we need to understand is, God says you're forgiven. God says, hey, it's okay now. But we still have these bad feelings. And when we have these bad feelings, we're more likely to go back to the sin. We're more likely to become disenchanted. We're more likely to be defeated as a result of that. And what happens? It overcomes us again. And what happens? A pattern takes place. And after a while, we say, we can't get victory in this thing. Is that what God said? Did God say that He sent His Holy Spirit to this world to live in us? He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die for us. He did all this that we might live defeated lives? I don't think so. But we allow our feelings to be there. You see, we're so used to that. It's been our life, all of our life, and now all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes and is seeking to teach us. We have our spirit enlightened. We're excited about that, and we want to live for God, but we fail and we mess up, and we ask God to forgive us, but we just don't feel like it. I also have a sneaking hunch that the devil is involved in this, and really is trying to, you know, make those feelings even more than they probably used to be. You know, like he's putting it on a telescope or something. And you and I mean, they're just blowing up. And so we have this defeat in our lives. And we're down. God says the just shall live by what? Faith. Faith. It was about January. I don't remember what I was defeated about. I was down. It was going on for 2 or 3 days. And I'd asked God to forgive me several times because I just feeling defeated. And I asked God to forgive me. And I was feeling defeated. And I asked God to forgive me. And I was feeling defeated. And you know what happened, Virginia? I thought, wait a minute. I am forgiven. God said so. It has been wiped away. God said so. I don't feel like it, but God said so. And so I put off the old man by saying, Lord, I'm going to believe what You have told me. Now, here's an interesting thing. The feelings came. the feelings came. But they are not what we operate by. God will bless us with those. But we're so tied to the flesh and the soul. Those cords are so tight. And we just need to believe God. Hey, He forgave me. And it is wiped away. I've been set free. And He's going to bring little reminders. Have you noticed that? He's going to bring something in your life that's going to remind you of what you did or make it, you know what I'm saying? And try to bolster, I believe, those feelings back. I mean, He's just, man, He knows where to attack. He's a tactician, I'll tell you what. And so we've got to what? Just simply remember, operate in the realm of faith. That is through our will. It's not a matter of our feelings. So often I hear people say, well, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel this or feel that. We need to be careful of feelings because they have been attached to the flesh so long. Now, I believe God can build cords of feelings to the Spirit. Okay? And over a period of time, why those others, they begin to get weaker. But, oh my goodness, I tell you, once in a while I look and I think, this flesh of mine is so powerful. Matter of fact, Paul, when he gets in Romans chapter 7, he is saying, boy, I want to do it and I try to do it and I can't do it. It is so powerful that even in our new nature, we cannot overcome it. He gets clear at the end of the chapter. And he cries out, who shall deliver me? O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And there's only one answer. It's Jesus Christ. He's the answer. And it's what makes chapter 8 such a beautiful, wonderful chapter, because it's the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God that as we give our will to Him, how He can change our lives. But what's our problem? So often, our feelings get in the way. Our feelings get in the way. Our feelings get hurt. Our feelings, oh my goodness. We are so feely-touchy today. You know what I'm saying? We need to operate in the realm of not feelings, but what? Faith. Faith. Somebody says, I feel led. I often wonder, is it from the flesh or is it the Spirit? If we're operating so much in the power of the flesh, how do we know the Spirit of God is leading us, you know? Oh, my goodness. We need to operate in faith. And faith is what? Believing God. Believing the voice of God. Jacob, what was his mistake? He operated with feelings. He put his hands on that fur that his mother had made for the son. And he felt that. And he made his determination, he made his decision based upon his feelings. And as a result, he blessed his son Jacob rather than his son Esau, which was not his intent. Now, it was God's intent that Jacob get the blessing. We understand. I have no idea how it would have worked if this thing hadn't gone down like this. But I do know this, it would have worked. Because God said so. But all what we need to learn from Jacob in this course of action, he should have listened to the voice. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to listen to the voice of God. What is He saying? And when we hear what He says, then we can act in faith. We can believe what He says and follow His directions. You see, the Spirit of God, as He leads us, is going to help us understand the directions of the Spirit. Directions of the Spirit, but of the Lord Jesus. Help us understand the directions of the Word of God. And help us to make decisions based upon principles of the Word of God when there are no direct statements. See? But there are principles that we can operate on. And so we need to study the Word of God that we might be able to have those things in our soul that we might believe them. Here comes another problem for the Christian. And that problem is we do not take the time to study the Word of God and allow that truth to enter into our soul. And allow those things to hit us. Matter of fact, when we are feeling bad, let me ask you this. When you're feeling bad and you're feeling defeated, do you read your Bible? Most folks don't. When we're feeling that defeated, we just leave it alone. Matter of fact, we don't want to read it because it might tell us that we're wrong. I may love conviction. I may sit down in the morning with your Bible in your hand and you say, "Oh, God, convict me this morning. I just want you to tell me how wrong I am." We don't. Has anybody done that? I haven't done that. He seems to do a good job of it, doesn't he? But the Word of God is that which is going to direct us. And yes, He's going to tell us we're wrong. And yes, praise God, He shows us the right direction to go. But when we have these bad feelings, what do? We just lay aside the Word of God. We lay aside the truth that we can believe in. And you see what happens here? How this thing can roll down the hill and the snowball gets bigger? And we get into the place of this young man. And if I said his name, most of you in this room would know him. Where he said, as a teenager, "I give up. I can't do it. Can't do it." And he gave up. He's been a mess for many, many years. How wonderful it would be if he could come back to the same spot and realize God forgives. And going to operate in the realm of faith. Because the realm of faith puts us in the place of cleanness rather than feeling dirty. Rather than feeling defeated, I now have victory in Jesus. And it's because it's in Him. It's not in me. And when I believe God, I find the feeling somewhere along the line come along. What we heard in camp was there's the facts. We believe them. That's the act of the will. And then there's the feelings. What a wonderful message that was. Very similar to what I'm saying today. If we operate on the feelings, it's not a life of faith. But the just shall live how? By faith. By faith. Okay? And so those things that have terrorized you, those things that have kept you down as a Christian, when you confess that to God, you ask Him to forgive you. You don't feel forgiven, but you got to believe what He said when He said He did it. And then live in that spot. Amen? Oh, I hope that helps. Father, today work in our hearts. Bless, I pray, abundantly. Lord, I know this is an area that I have dealt with in all of my saved life. And Lord, I know that so often it's been in failure because I didn't believe You. But oh, Lord, how wondrous it is when we just take at Your Word and allow You to then bring those feelings alongside as well. Lord God, I pray that You just help each one to realize and to recognize that they can live victorious in You. And help them to realize that when there is that thing that takes place, they can come immediately to You, confess it, and know that it's forgiven, and thus maintain that walk with You. Oh God, we thank You for that privilege. We love You for it. Bless in the hour to follow, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.